My name is Adele, and I am a compulsive overeater and a full spectrum and also a full spectrum addict. If you can be addicted to it, I am. I become very nervous, so I'm going to ask that I don't know if you know the set aside prayer, but I'm going to say the set aside prayer, and to help me. It's very selfish. God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about myself, my disease, these steps, and especially you, for an open mind and a new experience with myself, my disease, these steps, and especially you. And just for me, please guide my words that I may be of service to you and my community. Thank you. Just to qualify, I started in OA back in 1983 full-time. It was a miracle. I had gone through a treatment center for compulsive eating, which was based on the 12 steps. And so when I came out, I'd been through the first three steps and was very, very fortunate to find a sponsor who was extremely strong in this program. And also in another program, which I became a member of because my sponsor took me to that. And I have 34 years of sobriety in that. And so finding this program actually was the beginning of my life that was worth living. I started out just going back when I was 4.5 years old. I was sent to live with my aunt and uncle for a period of time while my mom and dad were building our house. And they did not know that my uncle was an abuser and had been abusing his daughter all of her life. So for about 6 months during that time when I was staying with them, he was raping me. And by the time I was 5, I was fat. So I went from, my mom said, you went from being skinny and willowy and afraid of nothing to being fat and afraid at the age of 5. Now, I know that a lot of you have similar backgrounds. You know, there are a lot of us, it may not be exactly the same, but a lot of us came from things that were just, you know, they were horrible. And so I learned, because he told me if I weren't so little and cute, this wouldn't be happening to me. It was my fault. And so I learned that if I ate and I became fat, he left me alone. I was safe. And so food became safety. Food became a friend. I have heard a lot of people talk about that, you know, they didn't have friends and stuff. I did. I had a lot of friends. I had a lot of friends through the spiritual community that I was in. I had a lot of friends through school. But I was never secure and I was never safe. I always felt like somebody was talking about me. Like if something happened, they would blame me. And so I went through that. I learned that eating made me happy, I thought. And then for about that long, then I would, at that age, I didn't really know. I just ate and ate and ate. If mom brought stuff home, if I did the dishes, I was in the kitchen cleaning up the dishes. All the potatoes, all of everything that was on the plates got eaten. They didn't get thrown away. And so I gained weight and gained weight and went on diet after diet and went to diet clubs. And I actually went on one diet that was the apple diet. All I ate was apples. To this day, I cannot look an apple in the face. I love apples, but delicious apples. It's like, because that's all I ate. I lost weight, but I put it back on. And so I was just, you know, looking for anything that would help me get the weight off, not knowing that I was eating because I wasn't happy. And in the big book, it talks about, you know, you always act, some alcoholics always acted happy. Well, I was that person, that addict, always acting happy. You know, nobody on the outside knew exactly how unhappy I was, but I would go home and cry, and I was scared to death. But I got good grades, and made it through fine. So then when I was in high school, my mom had taken me to all the different diet clubs to help me. And I didn't grow up with a horrible family. My immediate family were loving and kind and had a very, very strong spiritual base. And I learned from my mother, don't worry, God will take care of it. And I learned from my dad, if we don't agree, we just won't talk about it. So my immediate family wasn't my problem. I sought out the ones that were exciting, the ones that did all the drinking and, you know, all the stuff like that. But food was big in our family, and food was big in our spiritual community. So I, you know, was able to do that very freely. But I just got to the point where I just couldn't handle it anymore. My mother took me to the doctor, and this was the beginning of my drug addiction. She took me to the doctor, and he put me on diet pills. And this was in the 50s. And in the 50s, diet pills were pure amphetamines. I cleaned house. I lost weight. And then I got so hooked on those that I couldn't give them up. And then they stopped working. You know, I started putting the weight back on. But I still couldn't give them up because I wanted that high. I had to have that high. And so I went through that. Then I went when I was 21 and I found alcohol. I was like, woo! Found alcohol. Didn't do it because I liked the taste of it, did it because I liked the effect of it. I was a partier, you know, it wasn't that I hid or did any of those things, but I was a partier. And that was the time when I was able to keep my weight at a normal weight because I had that. And I had both. I said the only reason that I stayed at a normal weight during that period of time was because I had the alcohol, and the only reason that I didn't become a really low bottom drunk was because I had the food. In the morning I got up and I ate. But I stopped and started, you know, the drinking and the partying. So then I found through where I worked, I said to this lady who was a nurse, and I knew she worked at an alcohol and drug recovery place, and I said, I wish they had someplace for food like they have for that. Well, she said, we do. And so I was blessed to be able to go to this and learn about the 12 steps, learn about living a normal life, have friends. And when I was in there, my roommate looked at me and she said, if you're so goddamn happy, what are you doing here? And I went, oh. And so they had me for 24 hours. I couldn't smile or laugh. And that was one of the hardest things I think I've ever done in my life, except that I came out of it with friends that I never would have made, because they kind of shied away from me because, you know, they weren't happy. They weren't there because they were happy. So I got to know people, I got to find out more about myself, and that has really helped me over time because I just laughed at everything, and I was a very nervous laugh. And so I was able to walk through that, got into program, got a wonderful sponsor who walked me through the steps, got me started in the fourth step, and then moved away. That person moved away. I had a man only because he was gay. And so, you know, normally, especially when there are as many women, I would not choose a man sponsor because it's too hard to become very dependent on someone of the opposite sex. So, you know, I'm old enough now that guys choose me. Because I'm no threat. And I have the most wonderful husband in the world, which I was blessed with because of this program. If I hadn't had this program, I never would have met him. I never would have found the person who accepted me for who I was. Because I was always the person who, I would become what I thought that the person wanted, and then all of a sudden it was like, I can't do this anymore. And so of course they became disillusioned and left. But this person wanted me for who I was. He liked my independence. He liked the fact that I didn't say yes to everything he said. It was a blessing, because if nowadays, you know, we're partners. And we're not just spouses, we're partners. And he's at home cooking, which is absolutely wonderful, because I don't like to cook. It's hard to imagine an overeater who doesn't like to cook, but I don't like to cook. So anyway, I found the 12 steps. I walked through the steps. I have to every day make a gratitude list, which is what this is about tonight. And I also have to keep an attitude of gratitude, which I love the name of this, because if I don't keep that attitude of gratitude going throughout the day, then I slip right back into my resentments. And I wake up every morning an addict. And I have to be relieved of my resentments and of my character defects every single morning, because they're there. And I remember someone telling me, there was an old timer that says, you know, that's just who you are. You know, those are part of you. And each day I'm blessed with the ability to say a prayer and be relieved of that. So I do that every day. I say the third step prayer every morning. I do the serenity prayer. And then I do another form of the serenity prayer, which is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the person that I can, and the wisdom to know that that's me. And so then I do the seventh step prayer. And then I've made up a prayer that is the 12 steps. You know, thank you that I accept that I am powerless. And I just go through the steps. So I have that every morning. I try to do meditation, because prayer is talking to God, and meditation is listening to God. And if I don't listen, I'm not going to hear the answer. And I heard a speaker say one time that one of their sponsees asked them, how do I know what God's will is? And he said, you say a prayer, you get up, you start walking, and if you hit a wall, turn left. Don't try to go through the wall. Don't camp at the wall. And a friend the other night said, don't go back. Because, you know, going back doesn't work either. But, you know, how many times I tried to take a wall down because I'd say a prayer and I knew that was what I wanted. And I always said that after, I'm going to turn this on and become, I'm a damp person. And so I can say a prayer, you know, and then stop and listen. Oh, is that?
I think you're good.
Okay. All of a sudden I realized I was right on the mic. It's kind of like the owl we had in here earlier. So I was going, oh, that'll be fun. But, I have to work this program every single day. I can't say, oh, well, today I don't need to do it. Oh, well, today, you know, I can have that one bite. Oh, well, oh, well, oh, well, and end up back miserable, overweight, and more than overweight, miserable, and knowing that I'm going to be dead. You know, the pictures that are going around, I was in OA at first. I took off 105 pounds and kept it off for about 5 years. And then something happened in program where a person that I trusted a lot, whatever the word is. And that person, I walked into the room and they looked at me and said, every time you walk in the room, I undress you with my eyes. And I had just been raped again. And I hadn't been in therapy yet, and I did not know that I could say, that's totally inappropriate. Don't ever say that to me again. And don't ever come near me again. But I didn't know that, and so I left. Because I was scared to death I was going to run into that person, and the fear was just insurmountable. And so I got away. I did, thank goodness, stay in AA. And so I kept the 12 steps going. But trust me, I can't work my OA program in AA. It's different. It's just like the big book says, it takes another drunk to help a drunk. Well, it takes another compulsive overeater to help a compulsive overeater. And I need the help of people who know what I'm talking about. Because if I call someone and say, and they go, well, just don't do it, you know, because they can't relate. Is that my owl? Anyway, so I've had to learn that every single day I have to work the program. And I got away. Thank goodness I didn't get away from the 12 steps. And then a friend of mine decided to start the Thursday night Mill Creek meeting. And at that point, I was so miserable again. I had put all the weight back on plus. And we were in probably one of the most beautiful places in the world. We were in Belize, and I was miserable. I couldn't fit in the little plastic chair that was on the deck. I couldn't, you know, walk very far. I was miserable. I couldn't ride the bike with my husband. The only time I was happy was when we were snorkeling, because, you know, I didn't weigh anything. But I came home and she called me, and it was, and I'd been praying and praying hard, and she called me and said, I'm going to start this meeting, will you come? And she's someone that we had been in meetings together before that, before. And so I said, sure, because I knew that this was the only way that I was going to stay abstinent, find abstinence, thank you, and stay abstinent. And so I got back in, and it took a couple years, but I just kept coming and coming, and a couple times it was just she and I. And, you know, we finally got to the point where we said, well, you know, should we keep it going? And we decided, yeah, let's keep it going, because it was helping her and I. And then it started to build. And so now we, you know, we vary in size from week to week, but we have a very successful meeting. And I love it because we concentrate on recovery. You know, if we talk about what's happening in our lives, we also encourage people to talk about, how am I going to use the program to walk through this? You know, like the big book said, the only way through hell is through hell. And as an addict, I think that I'm supposed to be happy all the time. And that's not life. When I go out during the day, there are normal people out there who aren't happy. And so for me to think that I should be happy all the time is ridiculous. You know, I'd say 95% of the time I'm happy, joyous, and free. The 5% feels like 100% sometimes. You know, because when something happens to me, I overfeel everything. And I was talking to somebody earlier, and, you know, we talk about if a normal person goes out and finds a flat tire on their car, they call AAA. If an addict goes out and finds a flat tire on their car, we call suicide prevention. Because I can't handle it, what do I do? You know, call somebody to fix the tire. But that's not the first thing that comes to my mind. The first thing that comes to my mind is to panic. Oh my God, I don't know what to do. But thank goodness, because of this program, I do know what to do. I can say a prayer, and then I can listen. And I can start walking, and if I hit a wall, turn left. You know, because God will guide me in whatever situation I'm in. Never let me down unless I let God go out of my heart. And then God's not letting me down, I'm letting God down. And I said, before I came into program, I had a spiritual program, I had a higher power, and that higher power hasn't changed. It's the same higher power. But I learned through this program how to communicate with my higher power. When I came into program, I wanted my higher power to know and do my will. Now, because of the 11th step, I know to want to know and do my higher power's will. And that's so hard so much of the time when I want my own way. Because being right is very important to me. Was. Thank goodness now it's not anymore. I wrote 2 papers on the need to be right can be deadly. Because I had a friend when I was young tell me, Adele, I swear, even if you knew you were dead wrong, you could prove you were right. And that was true, because I have I can convince you that I know the answer. I have a powerful voice if I really want to use it. And I actually had somebody the other day ask me to speak up, which was almost a miracle, because most of the time people were telling me, Adele, shut up. But I've learned through this program to become more gentle. And being more gentle lets people come into my life and trust me. And I was looking online, and it said, talking about gratitude, it said, one, gratitude is the greatest driver of success in my life. Gratitude is the greatest way to silence my ego. Gratitude helps me appreciate every moment of my life. And gratitude produces a more meaningful life. Because if all I'm looking at is what's wrong, then that's all I get. It's like, if I practice the solution, I find the solution. If I practice the problem, then I get the problem. I get to stay there. It's like being on the freeway driving, and every asshole in the world is out there, you know, pulling in front of me, doing this, doing that. If I say a prayer, they all disappear. They're all gone. And I get to just drive. I get in the right lane. I used to go to the center lane and, you know, drive. Now I just stay in the right lane, because I don't have to go fast. I don't have to get there fast. I just need to get there. So And I was talking about having boundaries. I had to learn boundaries. I had to learn to say no. And I wanted to say no so bad because I hate to speak. So I wanted to say no so bad. But I didn't because I know that it helps me to give it back. And, you know, I've gone, I'm down, well, I was down 50 pounds. I've maintained that for 6 years. And now I'm on my way down again. And I'm up to about, I've been relieved about 62 pounds. So anyway, that's about it. Doing the 10th step, I recommend this, which is really, really, really good. It's got everything you ever wanted to know or do. I'll get that later. Each day, you can put your plan of eating in here if you want. You can write your gratitudes. You can do your daily writing and reading in here. And you can do your 10th step for the end of the day. It's got everything in here. It's very concise, and it's got down here, grant me the freedom from, and replace it with. So you can get this from any of the regions. We get region one is the one we get it from. And it's worth it. It's like $10 plus shipping. But if you get a bunch of people together, it's a lot cheaper. I looked it up, and it's a lot cheaper if you get a bunch of people together. But I try to give it to my sponsees once they get through step 12. And it's really a miracle. And I also looked up, and I'll finish with this, that compulsive eating actually has been declared a disease. It's called binge eating disorder, and it's in the DSM. So people said, well, you know, is this really a disease? Yeah, it is. It really is a disease. But there is also a way that we can put it into remission. You know, there's no cure, but I am relieved of it. And today, I am relieved of compulsive overeating and the other addictions that I have because of the 12 steps, because of a higher power. You know, if somebody says you can do it without a higher power or without the 12 steps, I'd question them because it didn't work for me, wouldn't work for me. I have to have this. Thanks.